I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Well, welcome on in, folks, to the Caesars Sportsbook First Take here inside the Superdome. And it is game day on a Saturday morning. We are here. It feels a little bit off for sure. At least we got the finale of the preseason. The last one of these exhibition games that don't matter, Jeff.
Yeah, one of the best changes the NFL made in recent years was two of the best. One was eliminating overtime. They did that recently. And also eliminating that fourth preseason game. Because can you imagine if we were just like, oh, it's the third preseason game. We're getting ready for next week. There's the last one. No, like this is, I think three games is enough in this context of like, we know what we know, we know what we don't know, and we know what we're trying to figure out today, right? There's not that many roster spots left. Like I was looking, I put out my final roster projection because there's usually not enough time to put out another one after the game, and it's like, well, just wait for the cuts because that happens on Tuesday at 3 p.m. They have to be down to 53.
Right.
But I really don't think there's that many starting jobs that are actually up for grabs, right? Obviously, quarterback, you know, that's a question. I think it's a lot closer to Spencer Rattler than Kellen Moore might
feels that way,
to
right.
think. But either way, I think it's, you know, he's got to come out here and finish the job, right? Like, I think one of the reasons you don't name a quarterback, there's a few reasons you don't name a quarterback. One is you don't want to say, hey, Spencer's our guy, and then open up a scenario where he comes out here and just looks terrible. And you're like, well, maybe he's not our guy. And then you have to change. And then you just look like you have no clue what you're doing. So I think that's a big part of why you don't. But also because I think you wanted to get Tyler Shuck first team reps all week in practice, because this is going to be your last opportunity to do that. And if you name Spencer Rattler your quarterback and still give Tyler first team reps, it looks like you're undermining your starting quarterback. So I think there's a little bit of both of those things. Either way, that's the biggest roster battle. And then on the complete opposite end of the spectrum, you have punter, who I have no idea who the starting punter is going to be. I don't think either of these guys has separated himself. I haven't ruled out Mr. Outside Hire at this point.
Right.
Whoever comes out here and has the best punter performance today may win that job. But other than that, I mean, you have some questions at running back. You may have some questions at, like, okay, do you keep six linebackers or six cornerbacks or five safeties? Like, how do you mix up the special teams? But that's really what we're after today. That and a strong performance for the first team offense,
please,
which is something we have not seen yet. It does sound like we're going to get a majority of the starters, at least all the healthy starters. Talifuaga is dealing with a knee injury. I wouldn't expect to see him out there. Anyone who's kind of dealing with some nagging issues, I wouldn't expect to see. But otherwise, I think we're going to get at least one series of basically the full first team offense today.
The flip side to that Sean Payton and the Broncos also plan on starting their ones, and that Denver defense is pretty lethal.
Yeah, we saw it last year.
Yeah, that's a nice test.
The only good news is Spencer has seen it before, so maybe that helps. I don't know, like at least with a version of it that you had last year. I don't know if they're going to – I don't think in the preseason – you know, Vance Joseph is a very blitz-heavy defensive coordinator, and that's just – you know, he'll send some extra pressure, but he's not going to be dialing up anything exotic in the preseason to show people if he brought anything new to the table. So I think that'll help. But, yeah, I mean, and I don't need to see a 14-play drive for a touchdown. It would be nice. But I do need to see some positive drive, some momentum, and some points on the board. I'll settle for field goals as long as you move the ball.
Yeah, I was going to say right there, I'll take a 7-8 play drive, go down the field, kick a field goal, come away with points. You feel good about it. Get a few first downs. Not going, you know, three and out. It's definitely a big buzzkill when you're going right the game before the regular season.
Especially with the starters in there.
Right.
Right. Like, these guys are supposed to be the players that you're that you've been working with, the players that you're comfortable with. You know, so one of the things that, one of my takes for the first two preseason games is one of the reasons the offensive line has looked so disjointed to this point is you haven't had Eric McCoy in there for either game.
The glue guy.
Because I think that genuinely, like, yeah, it's hard to say, like, oh, you know, you take one piece out and suddenly everything falls apart. But there is some level of, hey, he's not just your most important offensive lineman, he's also your best offensive lineman. He's your best communicator. Like, there were plays in that game the other day that I was like, if Eric's in there, I think he's able to do stuff that allows Caesar to play better. Right? Like, I think Caesar's kind of operating on an island because Eric's not next to him and he can't trust. And no disrespect to Torricelli Simpkins, but he's a rookie UDFA. He just sure. doesn't have the reps. So you can't expect him to do the high-level center things that Eric's going to do kind of just instinctively. And so I'd like to think that him out there as the entire group play better. But, again, you're not going to have Trevor Penning. He's still dealing with that foot injury. So you have Dylan Radins again. You're probably not going to have Fuaga. So you're going to be down your right tackle. So it's not going to be perfect. That said, I still need Spencer to go out there because I think at this point, you know, for Spencer, you know, he was always had kind of a leg up in this quarterback competition in the sense that I think all he had to do to win this job was to go out there and look confident and give you the impression that putting him in that role was not going to be catastrophic. Like, if the season went terribly, the primary reason wasn't going to be because of the quarterback you started. Right. And I think he's done that throughout training camp. And it's not to say Tyler has looked bad. He's just looked like a rookie that I'd like to give a little bit more time. That happens, right? Like, that's a perfectly acceptable way to kind of onboard a second-round pick into the NFL. You don't have to have that guy start week one. The only reason you would is if you had no one you trusted ahead of him. And to this point, I feel like Spencer has been a reasonably trustworthy player in that role. Now, if he goes out there today and completely just destroys that theory, then that's one thing. But I'd like to think he goes out there and just plays confidently because we've seen him in practice. We only saw one practice this week, but we saw him in the second week two of the preseason against the Jaguars. We've seen him in practice look confident. So I'd expect to see him go out there and show that again today.
You mentioned with Eric McCoy, is there a chance that he gets a start today? Do you want to get him out there, or do you keep him in bubble wrap for the regular season?
I would. I mean, there's some players I'm not putting out there. You know, you may put Alvin out there just to get a look at him in the offense, but I don't think you have to.
Right.
Same thing on the defensive side with like a DeMario Davis. And a part of that reason is, hey, I have more interest in getting a look at some of the depth running backs than I need to get a look at Alvin.
Yeah.
And I don't think not having him, it changes a lot, but it doesn't change how you operate. Like, you're still asking the running backs to do the same thing. Same thing on the linebacker side. But no, I'd like to see Eric. I think, you know, I want to see my, if I'm going to try to grade my quarterbacks and decide who's the starting quarterback based on performance, I need to see that quarterback playing with his starting center in a game setting, right? Because that changes so much. And so, yeah, I don't know if you'll get him out there for as long as you might, you know, a Kelvin Banks who needs more reps.
A series but with Eric.
At least one series I'd like to see.
And how about the new addition at wide receiver? It'll be interesting to see if he can come in for a few plays. Devon Valet.
Yeah, does he have pads yet? Have they fitted him for pads?
I know he has a number at least.
He does have a number. He's going to be wearing number 14. They cut Donovan Peoples-Jones
right
to make room for him. I'd like to see him out there just whether he gets on the field or not. I'd like to see him in uniform. I'd like to see him kind of out there so the fans can get a look at him. You know, I don't think there's no way you're up on any of the offense yet, but you can give him a package of a couple plays.
In the red zone, right?
Yeah, he knows how to run a slant. He knows how to run a fade. Like, you know, you're not going to give him anything complex. You're not going to run hurry up with him. But, you know, maybe a play or two would be nice so you can kind of show off your new addition before you take 2 weeks off. Because I know there has been some kind of agita around the trade, you know, some agitation, some anxiety around, okay, why are they trading a future fourth-round pick for,
correct,
I guess,
right.
Not a future fourth-round pick, but an upcoming fourth-round pick for a wide receiver who's 27. He is only on the second year of his contract, so you're you're going to build with him over the next few years. And I think at the end of the day, that's why you made the trade. If it was a one-year deal, right? If you were trading for a George Pickens, for example, who was on the Cowboys this year on the final year of his contract, you know, that's a different story because you kind of have a one-year rental and then you got to decide, am I going to pay him?
Right.
In this case, it's like, okay, however he does this year, we're going to build on that next year, the year beyond. So even if this season goes off the rails, you're still building with that core group. And I think a team like this is trying to build a culture. You don't want, you know, mercenary players. You want players you're building with who can kind of build in that culture. And I think that's what that was about.
It'll be interesting with the wide receiver room how things end up shaking out there, because I was definitely confident in three to begin with. And that third one, though, is wavered on me a little bit now. I more feel that, you know, Rashid Shaheed, Chris Olave, and now Mason Tipton maybe even over Brandon Cooks as that third. I just don't know.
No.
I don't know if Cooks' role really with this team. I haven't seen much from him.
I guess, but he hasn't played much.
Right. I know he's that veteran guy. You don't really need to see as much from him. And I know he's getting a pretty hefty contract, but I feel like, you know.
I mean, well, he's making the roster. Like, there's no question that Brandon Cooks is making the roster.
You think he's locked in?
Yes, they're paying him either way. They're not just going to cut him. They're not gonna, just going to burn. People are making a big deal about a fourth-round pick. You're not going to make a big deal about burning $8 million? No, he's making the team. It's always easy to look at it and say, wow, we have so much depth until one guy gets hurt and suddenly you need those players. So he's not getting cut.
So then you add in Cooks, Tipton, Devon Valet, and there's your five receivers right there.
Yes. Yeah, and so previously I had Cedric Wilson on my roster. I think if anyone gets bumped because of Valet showing up, it's probably Cedric Wilson. Now, he has a relationship with Kellen Moore. They were together on the Cowboys. They're both Boise State guys.
Yeah.
As far as that goes. But, yeah, I think you could also keep six. And if you keep six, you'd keep Cedric. Tipton is on the roster, but I still kind of see him as like insurance for any of those top three guys. And at this point, you know, I think he may be a game day inactive in week one, but you can't cut him
no.
just because of what he's shown, right? Like, you at the very least can't trust that he's going to make it through waivers. So you're going to keep him around. But, no, Cooks is, you know, he's the veteran in that room. Like, there's a chance he plays his way out of a role if he doesn't play well, but he's going to get a role to start the season. That's it. Like, you're not mad about Cooks coming out or about Tipton coming out and playing well. And maybe in the second year of Cooks' deal, that becomes a question. But right now, I think it's pretty much locked in with, you know, Olave and Shaheed at the top.
Right.
Valet kind of being that short yardage, red zone, chain mover type guy. And then however you work in Cooks behind him in kind of those three wide receiver sets, I think that's what you're going to do. But he's not going to have a huge role. Like, he's the top paid wide receiver on this team right now, but he's not going to be the wide receiver one.
The interesting thing you mentioned with Cedric Wilson Jr. is he is a big piece in the run blocking schemes,
yeah.
at least. So that kind of, I don't know if you have a wide receiver that does that. I know Sean Payton talked about Valet being a good run blocker as well, but we haven't seen it, so.
Yeah, I mean, the term that people like to use is willing blocker, which
yes,
isn't always the biggest, you know, it's like, that's what I need you to be. That's not like, that's also not great. Like, it's not saying, like, wow, he's a fantastic blocker. It's like, he's willing to get in there and get his nose dirty. That's a good thing, but it's like, okay, can he actually excel? So, yeah, I think that's going to be a big part of whether you keep Cedric around is, do you trust him early in the year? Because it's like, yeah, he has 2 weeks, but that's not that long. You know, how much are you going to trust him in week one, week two, week three? And if the answer is, you know, in a limited role, then you might have to keep Cedric around just because he understands some of the more complex concepts you're trying to run.
Yeah, maybe you're not worried about if you do cut him to, you know, want to put him on the practice squad, that someone's not going to claim him.
Well, that's the question.
Right.
Right? No, he's a veteran, so he doesn't have to go through waivers.
Yeah.
But, you know, if someone offers him a job, you know, like, you can put him on the practice squad, but he doesn't have to go to your practice squad. So it's really a question of whether, you know, would he find that insulting if you cut him, like, and say, yeah, I'm going to go somewhere else. Like, those are the type of things inside. Like, it's easy to look at them like pieces on a chessboard and forget, like, oh, it's a person with a ego and personality. Like, no one likes to get cut. They're not going to be like, thank you for cutting me. I'll gladly stick around, even though they have an offer on the table. So that's just something to keep in mind when you're talking about, you know, it's tough to make roster projections because, you know, you're kind of guessing at a lot of this stuff, especially in the first year with Kellen Moore.
Sticking with that wide receiver room still, it's just a guy like Dante Pettis kind of seems like
he is destined for the practice squad at all, you know, if he's not making the team.
You know, it's funny because I really like Pettis.
Seems to be a viable option in the return game.
He is a viable option in the return game, and he makes catches. Like, that's the thing. Like, everyone's like, Dante Pettis, whatever. But then you throw to him, and he makes these big catches, and you're like, oh, okay. Like, if I can trust him, like, go back to the game against the Rams last year in this building where you had a chance to tie it. Like, who caught the two-point conversion to set that up? It was Dante Pettis. You know, he got a touchdown from Spencer Rattler in the first half against the Bucks in Week 18. Like, he's a guy that just, you put him out there and he makes plays. And those are guys I like to keep around. Like, maybe a team comes in, maybe Rizzi. You know, Rizzi coming in today is really kind of fitting because, you know, there's a lot of players that it's like, if I cut them, is Darren going to be like, I worked with him last year. I feel really good about it. Like, you know, how many of his special teamers right now are guys that he's scouted and brought in?
Stallbird's a guy I worry about that.
There's a few guys, if you cut him, like, I wouldn't be surprised if Rizzi is, like, hey, punching Sean on the shoulder.
Right.
And being like, bring that guy in. You know, so, you know, maybe Pettis is that guy. Like, anyone that came in under Rizzi and gets cut this year, I look at and say he's a potential waiver claim with the Broncos.
For sure.
Because they're
relationship.
He's going to try to build up that special teams group in the image that he had spent years building up here.
We're going to take a break here on our Caesars Sportsbook First Take. You can sound off on our WWL text line and talk line, 504-260-1870. Come back right after this. We're in the Superdome, 10 a.m. The Cajun Cannon drops by for the Bud Light countdown to kickoff. We're located Loge Level, Gate B Atrium, folks. Make sure when you get here, you say who dat. We're going to take a break. Be back with more right after this on WWL.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Radio.
We just got to preach fast start. We have to start fast, because it's hard to come back. So you got to start fast, stay fast. And that's something, Kellen, we practice every single day. We want to start fast.
That is our starting quarterback for the day, Spencer Rattler, talking about the Saints' need to get off to fast starts. Jeff and I talked about a little bit about that in the first segment. This team, the offense, has managed only field goals in the first half of the first two games. All the touchdown action came, you know, after halftime, and you're hoping that, you know, you can get something together with this first team offense to at least drive down the field and get more points than just three before the half. It would be nice to get that touchdown, though.
Yeah, and I mean, we say all the touchdown action. There's been one touchdown in both games. Woo-hoo. It's not like they've had multiple. You know, I guess they had a drive down to the one against the Chargers, but that was a drive that went 16 total yards. So it's not like that was a real drive. I thought Tyler had a strong drive last week that, you know, was undone by a drop. It wasn't really on the quarterback. You know, the read was great. You know, it was a great read, great throw, drop. So, you know, it's not all about the quarterback. But
no,
yeah,
for me, it's more about the offensive line too.
Yes, I agree with that. You know, you got to block, you got to run. Like I would love to see Spencer play well. I'd love to see him supplemented with a reasonable run game, right? Like that's been something that's been completely absent. You did see a couple long runs last week, but one was on a 3rd and 30, and the other one got called back for a hold. So, you know, like I think Bayless Jones had one double digit run late in that game. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things I'd like to see from the offense. You know, there's a lot of things that have been left wanting from that group.
We heard after the Saints made the trade for a wide receiver, Diana Rossini of The Athletic came out and said that they were one of the teams in the market to try and acquire a running back. And you want to talk about causing another stir on social media.
Yeah, you know, I think we'd be used to this by now. The Saints are just one of those teams that's always calling around. Like, I think there's this idea that checking prices means that you are in the market. But at the end of the day, you don't know if you're in the market until you know the price, right? Like, if you don't call and check the price, then you don't even know whether that's something you could do. Like, if I'm a GM and I'm like, it's like, oh, maybe we're in the market for a running back if there's a great deal on the table. But unless I ask what the price is, I don't know what the deal is. So I never got the sense that they were really, you know, very aggressively going after that. But it's the same reason every the morning of every draft, one of the reporters sends out a tweet that says, oh, these teams are calling around.
Trying to move up, right.
And one of them is always the Saints because that's just they believe in that. Like, I want to know the prices so I can make a decision. That said, like, hey, you know, maybe they were going and looking at a Brian Robinson or a Travis Etienne or someone like that to say, hey, if we can get a good deal and we can upgrade, let's do it. But I still don't get the sense that that's something that's really likely on the table because I don't know, like I think they're in decent shape at the running back position, just in the sense of like what do you expect out of your third and fourth string running backs?
Yeah, now to me, if it was an offensive lineman or a corner, I would understand that a lot more than running back.
Well, who's to say they aren't calling around for that too? I'd be surprised if they haven't. It's just one of those things that it gets reported, and that's the one thing that gets reported. Thus, you are a team that's desperate for a running back, and I just don't get the sense that that's true.
And I think a lot of folks get a little agitated the fact that the team, you know, potentially giving up more draft assets in a year where you're not expected to do that great, and the fact you're going to end up with maybe a top five pick.
People get agitated about a lot of things.
Really?
Right? When you're in the situation the Saints are, there's nothing you can do that'll make people happy. Everyone's going to assume, like the analysts assume everything you do is the wrong thing. The fans assume that everything you do is the wrong thing. There's no grace given. Now, I mean, if you're back in 2018, like every move is the right thing, right? Like even if it's a bad move, people would be like, wow, they're so wise. Yeah. They're so forward thinking. And then it's like, wow, but Loomis math. Remember when everyone was so excited about how Mickey Loomis was manipulating the salary cap?
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh no, it's the worst thing that's ever happened.
We're in cap hell.
You know,
now,
it's like, that's just the reality when you're good versus when you're bad. Right? Like that's just where you are. But I do think like, if you look at 2018 to now, it's the difference is in 2018, 2019, 2020, those years, you were making a lot of win now decisions that didn't have anything kind of spun into, but it's also a win later decision. Right? Like you were going and bringing in Janoris Jenkins, Emmanuel Sanders, guys that were veterans, that were expensive, that you were only going to keep for a year or two. And there really wasn't any long-term potential. It was either we win now or we move on and find somebody else later. In this case, you're still going to make some trades. You're still going to make some moves. You're not going to just sit there and hoard your picks like some mythical dragon. But, you know, like I do think there's that now there's a level of we are going to make trades, but we're going to also make sure those trades do serve us for the future. Like bringing in Devon Vele, yes, there is some level of win now to that, but there's also a level of win 2 years from now to that, right? So I think that kind of balances it out. And that's the position the Saints are in right now, is they can no longer make exclusively win now trades, but they're still gonna try to win games. That's their job. Their job is to win games. They're not gonna. I think that's the disconnect between the fans and the decision making at this point, is that the front office is never gonna go into a conversation about how can we improve the team and say, yeah, but we want to lose. Like, that's just not what they're gonna do. And if people can kind of put their feet where the front office is in that regard, I think they're going to have a much easier time understanding why they do the things they do. Yeah. You might not agree with it, but you'll at least have a better time understanding it.
I understand the anger of giving up the fourth-round pick for Devon Valet, but there's definitely a position of need that we talked about so much going into this season, and then they finally went out and they pulled the trigger on a guy that apparently was getting – multiple interests, the Denver Broncos, from the Denver Broncos claimed, at least.
Yeah, we'll hear what Sean Payton said. I just think there's a point where people fall in love with the theoretical value of draft picks and ignore the fact that, like, if you turn a draft pick into a proven player, then that's what were you hoping to get out of that draft pick? And, yeah, like, I guess having that fourth-round pick, it's a potential trade piece. So if you end up in a situation where, you know, there's the quarterback you're in love with and you got to move up two spots, you no longer have that pick to trade. But I don't know. Like, I worry about this team before I worry about the theoretical future team. And again, you're not going to only worry about this team, but you're trading for a player. Again, if this was George Pickens, I would be critical of that, because you now have a one-year rental on a player that you don't know how he's going to fit. There's some baggage. There's issues.
Right.
In this case,
you got a contract for him.
In this case, you're getting a rookie on a seventh-round contract for 3 more years. So if he's a consistent contributor for 3 years, then this is a fantastic trade, because that's all you can hope for a fourth round pick. You know, if you want to be miserable, go and look at the Saints' history of drafting in the fourth round over the last 2 decades. There's a couple in there, but man, there's a lot of bad picks. You traded up twice to get Nick Saldivari and Jake Haener in the fourth round. How's that gone? And it's like, well, what if that's the first pick of the fourth round? What do you think Nick Saldivari was picked?
They're all not C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
Exactly. So the hit rate is pretty low on day three of the draft. There's a lot of flyers. For every Amon-Ra St. Brown, there are 3 Antonio Gandy Goldens. And if you don't know that name, that's my point. Like, you're just throwing darts at the board and hoping you hit. So, that's why I don't have an issue with it. You bring in a player that's proven, 41 catches, 475 yards, 3 touchdowns. And like Kellen Moore said, you know, these aren't just like one-offs. Like, Mason Tipton had 14 catches last year. Can you remember a single one of them?
Not really, no.
Exactly, because they were done in kind of irrelevant situations.
Right.
And he was on the field. He just didn't make an impact. Well, 26 of Devon Valet's 41 catches were for first downs. 75% of the targets thrown his way were caught. So, you know, that's what you're adding. And while, yes, he's not a perfect player, he's 27 years old. You know, he's not exactly a burner, but he's 6'5". He can be that physical player, and that's what you need. So I can't hate the trade. Like, the trade, the success or failure of the trade is not going to be whether you paid above market or below market. It's going to be what he produces in the 3 years that he's in a Saints uniform. And, you know, we've got to see what happens before. Like, I cannot tell you whether it's a good or trade right now, because a good or bad trade right now, because I need to see what he does.
Speaking about that trade, Sean Payton of the Denver Broncos was asked about trading Devon Valet to the Saints. Here's what he said.
I asked Paul, my assistant, find out how many players I've traded or been involved in a trade with. And Devon was the 26th player. The interesting thing with him was two and then a third team all called. In other words, we weren't actively shopping at all. But teams in need of receivers obviously do a good enough job. They look at the depth of certain teams. So within like a 3-day period, George and I had gotten calls from 2 serious teams and a third, and all coincidentally on the same player. And look, George would know better the initial offer or what the compensation would be. And the next morning he and I sat down and said, no, that, you know, obviously, we value this player. And then the following day, it picked up. It became more serious. And then we're having to look at the roster as a whole and trying to find the right and the best 53. But the thing different, and I looked over those trades, those other 25, and 90% of them were easy trades to make. meaning there wasn't the right fit for whatever reason, but there, and then there's that 10% that are difficult. This was one of those 10% that, man, all the things that we look for, discipline, structure, smart, tough, talented, that's why this one was difficult. And certainly New Orleans was looking at just talking with Mickey. They felt they were missing a bigger receiver. They knew we had a number of big receivers. And so it kind of went in the beginning of the week is just discussion. And then two teams really came back more than serious about this trade. And there is a point at some point where you're looking at the roster, you're looking at your depth, and towards the end, it was something we felt was going to be best for the club. He was fantastic when we visited with him. He's going to be a real good player for them. And so those are the tough ones. And really, I was only able to come up with like two that were like that. Darren Sproles was a real tough decision, and I later regretted it. But most of the time, they're easier. But we wish him well.
Denver head coach Sean Payton talking there. We're going to touch on some of those comments when we get back from the break here on the Caesars Sportsbook First Take. Be right back after this. Stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network, folks.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's the last stage of this training camp journey, and so there's a lot of opportunities to be had out there for all these guys for every level of the roster. There's opportunities throughout this thing. We got so many guys who have a path to the 53, and it's exciting to let them play this whole journey out. And then next week, once we obviously have to make the those challenging decisions, then our focus shifts to the regular season. We start getting ready for that.
Coach Kellen Moore, welcome back into the WWL and the Caesars Sportsbook First Take, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. We heard that Sean Payton cut before going to break was talking about
the trade of Devon Valet, and I think it was 26 players he had mentioned he had traded so far in his coaching tenure. And this one stood out as one that was, you know, one of the harder decisions for him to make.
Yeah, and, you know, there's the whole, like, compared him to the next Marcus Colston thing. You kind of take that with a grain of salt. Like, I think there's a level to which Mark or Sean is gassing up his own player. And
I think there's maybe what he said was basically the fact that he had Marcus Colston traits about him.
Traits, he's a seventh-round pick. You know, not a lot of people are talking about him, even though, you know, I think he's a quality player. You know, he's Sean Payton has drafted a lot of wide receivers. Sean Payton has dealt with a lot of rookie wide receivers. There's only two wide receivers in the history of Sean Payton's coaching tenure who had better stats as a rookie, and one was Marcus Colston, the other one was Mike Thomas. Like, Brandon Cooks didn't have better stats than Devon Valet. He was a first-round pick. Like, the Saints have had highly drafted players. It's just, you know, there's a point to which it's like, yeah, seventh-round pick, but he produced. So there's value there. Like, you go look at the stats of the fourth-round wide receivers from last year, and I'm going to tell you in advance, you can combine them all, and it doesn't equal out to 41 catches for 475 yards and three touchdowns. Heck, you can go into the third round from last year, and you're still not going to find that. The only receivers outside of the first round last year who put up meaningful numbers, at least in the top four rounds, were Ladd McConkey, who was kind of the unicorn of the group. He had 80 catches and more than 1,000 yards. He was a star for the Chargers. And then Keon Coleman, who only had 29 catches, had a strong rookie season, but only had 29 catches for like 599 yards. He was a big play guy as opposed to kind of a chain mover guy for them. But like guys who, it's hard to find young players on team-friendly deals who are producing at the rate that Vele produced last year. So I think that's the sales pitch, right? And I know I've seen people say, oh, the Brian Robinson got traded to the wherever for a sixth-round pick. And it's like, again, it's an example, like I just have a George Pickens. He's on the final year of his rookie deal.
Right.
So you're trading for a rental and then going to have to decide. Like, you're going to look at him this year and then have to decide whether you want to pay him $6, $8 million next year.
I think maybe two folks would feel a little bit better about it if he was 23-year-old prospect.
Oh, yeah. If he was 20, if he was 25, if he was worth it, it was a fifth-round pick instead of a fourth-round pick. Like, but again, you're talking about the value as opposed to, is the player any good? And that's going to be the conversation, is the player worth the investment? And we won't know until we see him on the field. I will mention the age is a product, at least in part, of a two-year Mormon mission after high school. He went to Samoa.
Those Mormons here.
Yeah, I mean, there's ample evidence that the Saints really like to mine the state of Utah and the College of Utah, even. They have two safeties out of Utah right now in Blackman and Burgess. But so you look at the football age, and the football age is closer to a 25-year-old player. I would be worried. You know, like, it's funny because you look at Tyler Shuck, and you say he's 25, and it's because he spent 7 years in college, and he was taking reps and taking hits and whatever, and so the tread on the tires, quote-unquote, is different. In this case, you have a college player who played 4 years of college, 1 year of the NFL. So, you know, there's some degree to which age is really just like, okay, that's how old you are. How much juice do you have left in the tank? And I always look at Michael Turner. Go back and look at Michael Turner's career and how little he played behind LaThanian Tomlinson early in his career. And he went over to the Falcons at like his in his age, like 25 or 26 season. And it was like, oh, but he has a lot of tread left on the tire because he hasn't played a ton. And he had two great seasons for the Falcons as a running back. And so, you know, like that's – I think there is – you know, we talk about it. That is a factor, is how much football have you actually played relative to your age?
Want to hear from you, Who Dads, what you're doing today for this preseason finale on a Saturday. Also getting ready for week zero of the college football season kicking off today as well. You can sound off on our WWL talk and text line, 504-260-1870. Going to hit the line, and Jimmy in Gretna wants to sound off. What you got today, Jimmy?
Hey, how's it going, guy? Look, you're talking about that Mormon guy. He took that sabbatical, the guy we just traded for from Denver, the big, tall wide receiver. It makes me think of, you know, Taysom Hill. It's a birthday for him today, so happy birthday, Taysom Hill. The Mormon missile, the Mormon ghost, a.k.a. Derry Sanders, a.k.a. Vanilla Vic. All right, they call him Vanilla Vic in some circles. So, yeah, I mean, look, I hope he comes back. He's a team leader. He's 35. A lot of our leaders on this team are getting older. What, Cam Jordan's 36. Taysom's, well, he might be 36 now, too. I don't know how old Taysom is exactly. I know he's mid-30s. You got DeMario mid-30s, and Kamara's 30 years old. So, you know, obviously it's a total rebuild, and, you know, some fans are scared about that. But, you know, look, if we come out of this season knowing who our quarterback is going into next season, I'll be happy with that, whether that's Rattler or Shuck. I do think starting Rattler, you know, game one of the regular season makes sense for Kellen Moore, because we know Tyler Shuck was handpicked by Kellen Moore, right? That was his prom date. He picked him. And, you know, if you go with Shuck early and he does what Jarrett Lee did with LSU, and he goes into the game against Auburn after Perilou got kicked off the team, and he throws some pick sixes on the road against a really good team, you never get a chance again. Jarrett Lee was called Pick Six Lee for the rest of his career behind Jordan Jefferson. I worry that something like that could happen to Shuck. You throw him in too early. He is a rookie. And I think, honestly, Kellen Moore probably listening to your show this morning as he goes to the Superdome. Look, it'd be smart. Start Rattler. That way all the Who Dat Nation can't go, well, you got to put Rattler in. Look, if he does well, you stick with him. If he sucks or has any issues whatsoever or is mediocre at best, then at least Kellen Moore can be like, look, we tried the Rattler plan, right? And look, I'm a Rattler fan. I think he's got a good chance of doing well in this league. And, you know, last year, 0-6, he had a bunch of Uber drivers blocking for him. And this year, they're all starting the season healthy. So I hope Trevor Penning can get a little lower on that block. I'm sure he's listening as well. So if he can get that stance a little bit lower, guys, I think he'll do well. What's your take on Penning's stance? And do you think it's a lock deal that Rattler will start game one?
Thanks, Jimmy. Yeah, all the Saints coaches and players are listening to this show before the game today.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
And happy birthday, yes. Taysom Hill turns 35 today. So.
Yeah, we'll say, yeah, he's 35. I know that because he is a fellow 90s baby. We have it easy because we don't have to remember what age we are. We just take the year and add 10, and we're there.
Oh, so you and Taysom, same age.
Yeah, we're going to have a joint birthday party one of these years.
With the Trevor Penning situation, I feel like we were at least seeing a little bit of advancement from him at the guard position this year, and it seemed that he had the confidence at least going into camp. But, you know, come the first preseason game, things didn't go too well.
Well, he got hurt.
Yeah.
So it's tough to gauge, you know. I think he's going to be the starting left guard when he gets back. The question's going to be, we're going to find out on – you know, and I don't know when they have to declare it, but this week at some point when, you know, you can put players on IR early. And if they believe that his injury is going to keep him out for 4 weeks, then I think he ends up on IR to save a roster spot. But, yeah, I mean, it would be great if they could get him back to start the season either way. You know, I thought Dylan Radins actually played pretty well in week two. So I'm not super concerned about it. I would like to see Trevor out there. I think it's gonna hurt him to not get these reps.
That's what I wonder. Can Radins end up stealing the starting job from Penning?
Probably not. And I just because you have the investment in Penning and you're gonna want to see it. But I do think feeling confident about Radins makes a difference, because if Trevor goes in there and struggles, then you will have kind of a guy on deck who can take over if you need to.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing this O-line, because there's been way too much pressure up the gut from what we've seen in practices and in the preseason games early on. And hopefully with Spencer getting the start today, he doesn't face as much pressure in his face that there's been.
Yeah. Right. I would like for the offensive line to go out there
and play. And I know Eric, not having McCoy
well,
is a big deal.
Yeah, I think that's more in the run game and picking up stunts. So, no, I mean, like, it's a group. Like, you need the group to play well, whether it's Penning, whether it's Radins. I need all five guys to play well. I'm curious who's going to start at right tackle. It's probably going to be Landon Young. Maybe Ezrom, but most likely Landon Young, I would guess.
I would think that, too. You know, the issue with Fuaga, we're hoping, is nothing serious. And I know that, you know, head coach Kellen Moore said that it was something minor that happened in the Superdome session.
Yeah, it was on Wednesday. You know, anytime you're talking about a injury with a tackle or a knee injury with an offensive lineman,
yeah,
to any extent, like, you can say it's minor, but these are 300-pound guys, and you have those joints that, you know, once they start to break down, it's hard to bring them back. Right? So you always have to look at it and be like, well, that's a little bit concerning. You don't want to hear of a guy dealing with kind of any issues. I mean, like, it didn't sound like a significant – I'm not comparing Fuaga, who's a second-year player, to Ryan Ramczyk, who's a seventh-year player, when he dealt with his kind of degenerative knee issues.
Oh, don't even
but
say that.
It happens fast, right? Like, it seems like everything's okay, and then all of a sudden the knee starts to break down, and you have to worry about it. So I'm not saying that's the case. I'm just saying whenever you hear about a young tackle, it's like, it's a knee, don't worry about it. I don't know. I always worry about it a little bit. But I don't anticipate it's going to be anything that keeps him out. And honestly, it's probably a good thing that you can get reps for whoever that swing tackle is, because, you know, that's someone who almost always has to get into the game. You don't always end up playing your ninth string offensive lineman, but you almost always end up having to play that swing. Like, think about how often James Hurst got on the field, even when he wasn't the starter. Like, there's value in getting that guy reps. So I don't think it's the end of the world that Fuaga misses a game. And hopefully Landon Young, I think Landon Young is a decent sixth tackle or sixth offensive lineman. He's, anytime you can have a fourth, fifth year player in that role who understands the offense, who you feel decent about, it's an advantage. So hopefully he can go out there. And maybe I'm being biased because I like Landon. Landon's a good dude.
One thing that's good, I guess you could say, about the Saints' first round pick this year, Kelvin Banks, is we haven't really talked too much about him, and that's always a good thing for offensive linemen.
Anytime you do, like Fuaga last year, right? Like, anytime we spend a lot of time not talking about you, that's a good thing. One other thing I am interested to see today is, okay, Luke Fortner, you traded for him?
Yeah.
He traded Colin Saunders for him, and the funny thing is Colin Saunders said that he was playing Fortnite when he got the news that he was getting traded for Luke Fortner. It's fitting, right? But, you know, so, okay, do you stick with Torricelli Simpkins as your backup guard? Do you go with Luke Fortner and move Simpkins back to kind of a swing guard position? I meant center. You know, is he your backup center? So I'm curious to see how they game that out today, because Simpkins has played a ton over the last 2 weeks.
Top of the hour news and more of the Caesar Sportsbook First Take after this.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.